May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
It was so good to have you here in the upper room on this Wednesday. Three more days doing this, and then next Monday we're back over into the sanctuary. But I'm so grateful that you're here. Jesus is so grateful that you're here.
Amen.
He's been looking forward to seeing you this day for a long, long time.
Amen.
Remind you that the scripture, which is one of those axiom scriptures, one of the foundational verses that give us insight into the works of God, the reason Christ came. So, well, Christ came to die for our sins. Christ came to his death, burial, and resurrection to make new creation. That's all true. But Jesus also came to reveal the truth about the Father, John 1:18. He also came to reveal the truth about humanity. Because the life that Jesus lived, though he was 100% God, he emptied himself. It's called the doctrine of the kenosis. Philippians 2 talks about that. He emptied himself of his right to live out of his deity and lived as second Adam, as second man. So he represented all humanity just like Adam did, the first Adam. So Jesus came and showed us how humans were supposed to live in relationship with God. So in chapter 1, verse 9, the scripture is so significant. There was the true light, which is Jesus, which coming into the world enlightens every human being. So Jesus coming into the world enlightens every human being of every generation. What does that mean? That he makes clear, he gives insight into, he reveals the truth about humanity. He gives an example of the new creation. He shows us what normal, free, whole humanity is supposed to look like. That's significant. So when Jesus is doing the things that he's doing, and he invites the disciples to participate, he gives them power and authority. They do signs and wonders. They do all kinds of stuff. Because Jesus is teaching them. He's modeling before them, not just proving to be the Messiah, but also being an example, not just for us, but an example of us, and inviting his disciples, teaching them what humanity, human, looks like from God's perspective. And then when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they did greater things than Jesus did. He promised that would happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having understood that, when Nicodemus comes at night to speak to Jesus, this teacher of Israel, in verse 2 says, this man came to him by night and said to him, teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Now again, he didn't say to him, he didn't come to Jesus at this point in their relationship and say, Messiah, the Christ. He says, Rabbi, teacher. And he says, we know that you've come as a teacher. Now, Nicodemus and others recognize that Jesus is from God. But he hasn't yet concluded that he's Messiah. He recognizes him as a teacher, but he says, you're a teacher and you've come from God. And we know that you've come from God because with the kind of signs that you walk in, God has to be with that person. Now think about what that's saying, that one of the evidences of a human being that's representing God, that comes from God, is their lifestyle is going to be supernatural. That's normal humanity. That's normal Christianity. Jesus was the most normal Christian who ever lived. And so Jesus answers him. And really, Jesus, when he says he answered, it was really a response because Nicodemus didn't ask a question. He just made a statement. And yet Jesus says to him, because what Nicodemus did say is, we know you've come from God as a teacher. And we know that you've come from God because God is with you. And the evidence that God's with you are the signs that you walk in. And then Jesus does what? Tells him how to experience God being with him too. How to be a person who comes from God. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, we've talked about that for 2 days. In other words, this is really, really important. Super important. I love you so much, humanity. You got to get this. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you are born again, and the word again is actually the Greek word above. unless you are born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's really powerful. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus said, truly, truly, amen, amen. So this little conversation right here is very, very important to understanding Christianity, to understanding what Jesus is trying to say and trying to emulate. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, a woman, when her water breaks, a child is born, and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The language there is actually, you can't come into the kingdom of heaven. I don't think he just means enter into, like, you ever said about somebody, they've come into their own. They've been practicing, they've come into their own. So he's saying, unless you're born from above, you can't come into the kingdom of heaven. You can't really experience the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, you make the kingdom of heaven come. The message of John the Baptist and the message of Jesus, one of the messages of Jesus, early on, according to Mark 1:15, is repent and believe the good news. Here's the good news. The kingdom of heaven is here. But Jesus said, unless you're born from above, you can't experience it and you can't see it. For he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nothing supernatural about that. But that which is born of spirit, its DNA is spirit. If you're born above, then your DNA is heavenly. What's Jesus doing? Explaining to this guy how God is with him, how he's moving in these signs. Because Jesus is experiencing the kingdom. He sees the reality of the kingdom. He operates in the realm of the kingdom. He comes from above. But if you're a Christian, so have you. You have that DNA. It is your DNA. It's not like there's been injected into you a little bit of wolf DNA. So you used to be a dog, but now you're a wolf dog. Or you were a man, you're a wolf man. Now, if you were born from above, then that's your DNA. If you were born from Bracken Ingram, you got Bracken Ingram's DNA. You don't have part of the DNA. If you were born from above, if that's the source of your being born, then your DNA is heavenly. Maybe housed in flesh, but you have a new DNA. That which is born of flesh is flesh. A person who's not saved, all they have is flesh, their humanity. And that's all they can operate out of. They can only think like a person who's just flesh. They can only deal with situations and circumstances by their own wit, their own intellect, their own willpower, their own drive, because all they all have is flesh. But if you've been born from above, you've been born of the Spirit, you have a DNA that's changed. You may have flesh still, but your DNA is now heavenly. Your DNA now is of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is your life. You have his DNA. And you come from above. And therefore, your life should be characterized by the fact that everybody notices that God's with you. How do they notice it? By the life that you live. By the signs of God's presence. And I love what he says. Verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. Why does he say that? He said, humanity didn't need a shot in the arm. It's not an improvement program. It's not a self-help program. It's not a 15 steps to getting better. Humanity needs to change their entire DNA. They need to become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone's in Christ, mine says that you're a new creature. Someone says new creation, but the word actually is you're a new kind of creature. You're a kind of creature that the world's not seen. Never been anything like you before. Do you understand what he's saying here? He said, humanity didn't need a shot in the arm. I didn't come to be an example for them to try to follow. I came to be an example of them. You're going to have to be born again. Born above. There's going to be a new birth. You got to become a new self with a new DNA that's Holy Spirit, that's from heaven. Then he goes on, he says, Jesus says, and people, listen to this. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. And people have always translated that or interpreted that as, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. You know, because the Holy Wind is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what he's saying. You have to read the whole verse. He's using the wind as just an analogy, as an example, an illustration. He said, you know the wind? You know the wind? He said, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where it comes from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He's talking about you and me. He said, there's no way in the world to explain a life to the world of someone who now has the DNA of heaven, the DNA of the Holy Spirit. There's just something supernatural about that person. There's no explanation for where they come from, where they go, why they do what they do, and why they think what they think. We're other. We're aliens. We're not citizens here. We're citizens of heaven. And therefore, we're supernatural beings. Jesus was. And he says, you're born from above. So you have the ability, we'll talk about this tomorrow, to see the kingdom of heaven, to come into the kingdom of heaven, to kind of like your reality is the kingdom of heaven, because you have the DNA to see that, because you've been born from above. So we talk about being born again. Yeah, you are born again, but what kind of born again are you? You've been born again. You've been born from above. You're heavenly born. You have heaven's DNA. That's why we've been saying the word eternal life later in the same context. He's going to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will no longer perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life isn't about chronology. It isn't about how long you're going to live. Does it last forever? Yes. But the word eternal is just the word aeon. It's just the Greek word age. And this, so there's the Bronze Age, there's the Industrial Age, there's the Age of Heaven. And the Age of Heaven, when you become a Christian, the age to come, in other words, we're going to, as heaven invades earth and everything's made new, it's all heaven, we're walking in the reality of heaven, the age to come kind of life, live through you in the here and now by him. That's eternal life, and it lasts forever. That's what happens when you're born from above. You get that life, the life of heaven, the life of the Spirit, and that's now your primary DNA. And it's important that we believe that about ourselves, or you'll forever still walk after the flesh. You'll look at a circumstance or look at a situation or a ministry opportunity, and you'll look towards yourself, get bent towards yourself, and try to figure out whether you can handle this or not. You'll be doing like the disciples. Well, all we got here is a couple of fish and some loaves, and we got thousands of people. It's just not enough. And Jesus, he saw the kingdom of heaven. He came from above. He saw the resources of God. And he acted, which we'll talk about more tomorrow, in thankfulness and anticipation that this situation wasn't a dictate of what he or any of the disciples could do by their flesh. He was more than a flesh person. He's trying to teach them how that looks like. So we never as Christians evaluate what we see. I mean, I've talked to so many people who've gone, it's just been hard and this is happening and this is going on. I'm going, you're seeing things after the flesh. How does Jesus see those things? How's the real you, the one that's in union with Christ? That's your DNA. You got to get your mind renewed and be transformed and stop thinking from your flesh and start thinking from the mind of Christ. Because that's a heavenly mind. You may be standing on earth, but you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ because you're a heavenly creature. Amen?
Amen.
I love that. I love what Jesus said. When he came to Jesus and said, you're a teacher, we know God's with you because of these signs, Jesus basically said, here's the deal. I'm just a normal human, and this is what humans need. I just come from above, you know? I was born of the Spirit. And every human being has to be born of the Spirit, born of above. And they'll have a spiritual and heavenly DNA, and they'll get to do the same kind of stuff. Things that I do, they'll do even greater. Wow. Does our mind need to be transformed to start realizing that, thinking that, know the truth about us? We don't grieve the way the world grieves. We don't pray for people the way the world prays for people. We don't deal with circumstances the way the world does. We're not like them.
Yeah.
I've been born from above. I'm a different kind of creature. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.